for coming. I know many of you, but some of you I don't know. I'm Bill Fuling. I'm a planner with the city's planning department. Dave Kress is also a planner working in our office, and there's probably going to be another one or two staff people that'll wander in here. A couple of housekeeping things. If you plan on speaking or asking questions or whatever during the meeting, if you'll fill out one of the green registration forms, if you're not sure if you're going to or not, you can fill it out when you leave if you feel moved to say something during the meeting. Just before you leave the meeting, if you could fill that out, that would be great. Hopefully you all got a newsletter. These are just fresh off the press today, so hopefully we read them over closely enough and you won't find any typos or anything. But the thing I really wanted to note are the meetings that are on the front cover. We've been working on the downtown plan since April of 2008, believe it or not. And periodically throughout the process, we have the kind of a key points in the process. We have these big public meetings. We've had them all at the Overture Center. We've had a lot of other meetings, including some at the West Mifflin, for the West Mifflin neighborhood. How many of you have been to any of those meetings that we've had? Great. So we have our next, Michael Weidlich, also the planning department, is working on this project. So our next one is going to be on Thursday, September 23rd, and that's where we're really going to kind of roll out what our draft recommendations are going to be for the downtown, for the entire downtown. So hopefully you'll mark that on your calendar if you can't make it. 2 weeks later, we're also going to be having an open house where we'll have all the materials that we're going to be presenting on September 23rd in the lobby of the municipal building across the street. So if you can't make it to the big event, there's always that follow-up opportunity. And if you can't make it to that, we'll still arrange something that where we can talk to you about any issues or concerns that you have. So like I said, the purpose of tonight's meeting is to talk a little bit about the West Mifflin Street area, and specifically we're talking about the 400 and 500 blocks of West Mifflin, West Washington Avenue, and kind of the surrounding blocks. As we've been working through the downtown plan process over the last 2+ years, really all the pieces have seemed to kind of fall into place. I think pretty well. Not everybody's going to agree with that exactly, but generally I think everything is really pointing in a direction. This is a map that has been around for quite a while in one iteration or another throughout this process, but really what this is trying to do is take the downtown planning area and identify some character areas, or those neighborhoods or districts or those pieces of downtown that really kind of hang together. And that's kind of a construct that we've used to help develop some of our draft recommendations. And the area that we're really talking about tonight is the area called Mifflin. You'll see in a minute that it actually, this is West Washington Avenue, Broome Street, Dayton Street, and Bedford. This is an area that throughout the process we found people have very strong opinions on the future of this area. There are a number of people that believe that basically it should stay like it is or maybe improve, but keep the houses that are there and really have that continue being the predominant future for that area. There are a lot of people that think, oh, these are a bunch of houses that have been cut up into student apartments and been rented out for years, and it's kind of maybe getting a little run down, and is that really the long-term future for this area? What we're trying to do is put together a plan that has a 25-year planning horizon. So we're not talking about, you know, changes or not changes, you know, tomorrow, but we're really looking a little further out. So as we've gone through this process, we've talked about kind of the two extremes I just mentioned, plus several kind of different iterations in between. And because we've been getting kind of such mixed messages, and frankly among staff having some good debates and about what the plan should recommend for this area, in February we went to the Plan Commission. The Plan Commission is the city policy body that's kind of leading the direction of the downtown plan. So we had a couple working sessions with them back in February where we talked about all these different areas and where the kind of what direction the plan was going for those areas. And they seem to be kind of pretty supportive with, you know, a few tweaks and changes here and there. But we really tried to engage them in a discussion about this Mifflin area because we have been getting, you know, have these different alternatives floating around there. And they weren't even able to really come up with a really clear direction. They talked about some things, but, you know, we think what we took away from that was kind of a desire to see the essence of the area, kind of the core of the Mifflin Street District kept, preserved, so it's enhanced, so it just doesn't continue like it is for the next 25 years, but keep that same building form, maybe the same buildings fixed up, but that's kind of the future for that area. But also thought, particularly along some of the edges, that there could be some opportunities for some fusion of some new development or higher density development, maybe around the edges, maybe in the center of the blocks, like I'll show you in a little bit. So we took those little nuggets that we thought we heard from the Plan Commission and have been working on some concepts to try to put some more detail to it. So hopefully the Plan Commission has something more specific to react to, and people that see it, that come to meetings like this, will also have something a little more detailed that they can respond to instead of some of the things that we had done before that were a lot more conceptual. So tonight we are having the Plan Commission is having a work session actually on the zoning code, but they allowed us to tag on for the last half hour this evening. So at 7:30, we need to go to that meeting, and we're going to continue that discussion with them. But because they only had really a half hour, and they were already doing a special meeting, we scheduled this meeting working with Alder Verveer to give folks who are interested in this area an opportunity to hear about some of the things that we're thinking about and things that we're going to share with the Plan Commission this evening, so you can let us know what you think, and hopefully that will free up a little more time for the Plan Commission to do their thing and let us know what they think. This is a map back from February, and the area that we're really talking about is in here. And what this map was our concept for maximum building heights throughout the whole downtown area. And as I said, by early in the year, the rest of the downtown seemed to be generally falling into place. But you'll notice this area where we have, in this concept, you know, mostly this lighter color is three stories, a little darker along West Wash is four stories, and then wrapped by six. Generally, the darker colors here are taller buildings, lighter colors are lower buildings. But even back in February, we were showing one alternative, another alternative for that area that's a little bit higher, and another alternative that's even higher than that, really trying to be reflected more of kind of a progression of what some of these alternatives are. So, I mean, since February, we've even been kind of kicking around which direction this plan should go. So, after our Plan Commission work sessions, and actually I have some, you can take handouts of these next couple boards that just, it'll be a little easier for you to see. We started trying to look at you know, kind of in some alternatives in more in the middle. So it's really, these are really focused on, there's two alternatives I'll talk about, focused on keeping that core of the district or the essence of the district along Mifflin Street, but also looking for opportunities to incorporate some additional redevelopment in the area, or infill development. But what we're trying to do is not just see where we can put additional development, it's to make this a really desirable place in the future. Whatever it is, we want it to be the best that it can be. And so one alternative, and I'll kind of just give an overview of these, and then we can go back and talk about them if you want. This alternative A, the buildings that are in white, so again, here's Dayton Street at the top of the map, West Washington Avenue, Main Street, Broome, Bassett, and Bedford. So the buildings that are in white that are along the 400 and 500 blocks of West Mifflin Street are existing buildings that could be rehabbed, or if they're replaced, they're, you know, maybe replaced with something very much of that size and scale and character. The buildings that are in gold would represent potential new development. And the buildings that are in blue are buildings that are relocated. So you can see there are some, there's kind of a mix of everything in here. And really, for the most part, West Washington Avenue under this scenario, over time, over the next 25 years or so, could gradually be redeveloped. Some of the more of the gems that are on West Washington Avenue could be moved to fill in some gaps here, and this isn't necessarily really precise. It's more illustrative, you know, just to show how some of the gaps could be filled in there. Really along the edges, like Dayton Street, has some additional development. And really, kind of the key element on this is these blocks along West Washington Avenue are deeper than most other blocks in the area and downtown for that matter. One of the things that we were looking at to try to really add value to this area is to cut in kind of an urban lane in here. We're not talking an alley, but something that would have some new development that would be fronting on that. It could be walkable. It could provide access to these new buildings that are fronting here. Right now, there is no cut through. This is all one block. It's got houses basically along West Washington Avenue and kind of circling that with sort of a bigger hole in the middle. Some of the things we talked to the Plan Commission about was because there's that the middle of these blocks, one of the alternatives talked about building some bigger buildings in the middle of the block. But, you know, that just didn't really feel right. Now, we're not, again, just looking for places to put more bigger buildings, but we want to be able to look for opportunities to increase density in a way that it really contributes to the character of the area. So that's an idea that seems to us anyway to have some merit. So that's one alternative. Now let me.
That's it, thanks.
You don't have this, but maybe this can help visualize a little bit more of what we're talking about. This is an image down here of looking down from Bedford, kind of looking down that mid-block urban lane. I don't know if you guys can see this, or if you want me to pass it around, I can. This is an image of what's there now. Like this is the back part of Washington Court, right, Dave?
Correct.
Is it? So that's part of that development that the Kellers did, where they have about a 10-story building. I could count. A 6-story building, more in the center of the block. And so what this image down here is, this building is the outline of this building, but it gives you a sense of more of the type of environment that we would be trying to create around that mid-block wing. Likewise, here's kind of a view down West Washington Avenue, where you can start to get a sense of some of the scale of some of the buildings that first alternative is proposing. Can you guys see this, or do you want me to? Okay. It's a little big to pass around, but if you want to look at it. So then the second alternative is, wait a minute. That's the first alternative. There it is. But I didn't bring more boards. The second alternative is, has a lot of the same thinking to it. It maintains this this new mid-block connection through here, continues to provide for some new redevelopment along Dayton Street, kind of wrapping Bedford and Broome Street. But the main difference with this one is that it retains more of the houses, or really it retains almost all of the houses that are there along West Washington Avenue right now. And so that that drops the density, the net density of the whole area a little bit, but seems like it would still provide an opportunity to really strengthen this area in the future. Since I don't want to talk all night and give you guys a chance to offer any comments or questions or whatever, I just wanted to give you a little bit of a flavor for what we did and kind of what we're thinking and why we're thinking it. What our plan is from here is hopefully we'll get some good direction from the Plan Commission tonight so we can really work that into a more specific recommendation and incorporate it into our recommendations for the rest of the downtown. So at the meeting on September 23rd, you can see what we'd be recommending at this point. So these are concepts for discussion right now. So, yeah, listen.
Have a question, just curiosity, and maybe everybody else knows this, but if you did fill in, with the yellow buildings in that interior alley, how do you go about getting that land, like by eminent domain, or because it's part of the existing parcels, you'd be taking their backyards to do this, right?
Yes. This is not going to be an easy or cheap scenario to do this. We've been trying to put together some numbers so we really understand the cost of it, but also the benefit. What would an investment in this really get us? Just to put an alley, not an alley, an urban lane, it's mid-block lane through here, just to do that, probably you're not going to get that much out of it. So you have to have some good reasons to do it. These are a lot of individually owned properties with a lot of individual property owners. But for the most part, I think that part, the backyards of these houses, this additional land is all coming off the properties on the north side of this block. And so you don't have to deal with all these property owners, but just the ones on this side. And right now, they're largely surface parking lots, for a lot of commuter parking, frankly. And so because they're all rental properties, I think they are all rental properties, this could give them some opportunity to have some additional development in the backs of their lot. So that would be, that could be an incentive for them to be interested in doing this.
So what kind of criteria did you use to come into this plan, to come up with these options? Is it, and what kind of, just within the planning staff itself, what kind of is agreement? You indicated that you had good discussions. I mean, is this something that everybody concurs with on planning staff? And
everybody, I would say these two concepts we're all comfortable with. How's that? I think across the board, I would say that we're all pretty excited about the possibility of this new spine through the middle of the blocks and really what that could, how that could change the area. And when I say change, I don't necessarily mean, you know, all redevelopment, but, you know, if that could spur some of this additional development happening in the middle of the blocks, that could generate some additional income that could be kind of fed back into to some of those houses. How all of that comes to be still needs some more work. What we're trying to, we're kind of taking this in deliberate steps, and you know, we went from these bigger, fuzzier concepts. Now we're trying to get some, some more details. We can have some more specific discussion, so we can say, well, if this is what people, they kind of like this about it, or they don't like this, we can kind of nail down what that vision is, and then put together really the plan of, okay, this is what we want in the future. Now these are all the things that we need to do to make it happen.
And so is the long-term vision that this remain as primarily student housing, or is it to try to get more owner-occupied?
I think primarily student housing, but there could be opportunities for others to live there as well. With some, you know, particularly I think with the option A, maybe more along West Washington Avenue. We in our planning process, we've had meetings with students, including a meeting on campus, and you know what we've I don't want to overgeneralize, but we've heard a fair amount from the students who not only like kind of that lived-in, comfortable feeling that the area has right now, but that it provides a, you know, good affordable housing for students who don't want to live in some of the newer amenity laden high rises. So they like this for a student neighborhood, and it's not just because of the block parties. I mean, I think there's an affordability issue there for them that's pretty real. Yeah.
How will, or have you addressed with the new buildings how parking is going to be handled? It's becoming more dense and there's going to be more cars.
I think all of these buildings have under building parking in them.
Okay.
They all do, right, Dave?
Yes.
If you look closely at the plans, you can see some of the driveways kind of look like they're kind of teen or dead ending into the buildings, and that would be entrance to underground parking.
So that takes care of the new buildings, but you said that parking was there. We're replacing parking space, so
yep.
Where are the current people going to park?
There are a couple of things we've talked about that. Some of that is commuter parking. And is commuter parking appropriate in this neighborhood? We've probably heard, you know, not necessarily, or we at least don't have to plan for it. There could be some additional parking in these buildings, depending how big they are, how big their footprint is. There could be some additional parking provided in the underground parking structures. We've also talked about maybe having a new, smaller, remote parking ramp, maybe over west of Bedford Street, that could be available for parking for people in this area also. We've talked about that, but we haven't, you know, gone too deeply into the details of what it would take to make that happen again until we kind of find out what direction we're going.
I thought there were water issues as well, to go underground parking in that area. So I guess I would question how feasible that is in all that area to do underground buildings. But I have some other questions besides that fact. You keep talking about density.
Mm-hmm.
Have you defined what density is and what the goal is of the city around density? And I have some concerns about that in that particular area. So could you define,
so
when you talk about density, what you mean and what is the city hoping to accomplish when we talk about density?
Sure. I think because of the location of this area in particular, it's close to the university. You know, it's pretty close to the hospitals and some employment centers near Park Street and other employment centers like closer to Capitol Square. That providing some more opportunities for housing, we're talking, you know, residential densities, gives people an opportunity to live close to where they work, so they should probably need less parking. We know people that live here are going to have cars, but there are more opportunities for that, where just kind of off the map here, where there's, you know, a bike path. Some days there might be commuter rail that's going to stop in the vicinity. You know, this is an area that just seems like it could support more people living in this area than the way that it currently is.
So what's the density in this area right now, average?
Average density right now in this six-block area is about 32 units per acre.
Okay, so that is here.
So, yep.
So then each
And
each
hopefully
proposal.
It's the same on each alternative. I'm sure it is.
Okay, so B is 52. So you measure it in units rather than number of people, so on.
Yeah, and we based some of our assumptions off some of the development that we've seen in the last 10 or 15 years in the general area,
mm-hmm.
as far as size of buildings and kind of how many units and that translated into. This gentleman, did you have a question before?
It's been asked.
Pardon me?
Somebody asked it.
Okay.
I don't, unless I'm missing something, I came late, I'm sorry. Is there any plans for any green space parks or anything in this area?
Actually, what you isn't shown on this map, across the street and this block right here, we're going to be proposing that there's a new park on this block. So right across Dayton Street on the block where the...
Double Tree.
Thank you. Double Tree is located.
Basically their parking lot?
Pardon me?
It's kind of like their parking lot area?
More than that.
Okay.
I noticed on Broom Street there's none of the individual housing left in either plan. Is that for a special reason?
I think when we went out and kind of looked at the condition of the housing and what's there, and because Broom Street is a busier street, you know, I think that's why we were showing that there's probably more opportunities for along a street like that than there would be like in the interior of the neighborhood.
Can I just go back and
talk?
So if you're going to increase the density that you noted on this paper, what's the level of the buildings that we're talking about? I mean, it really, in my mind, it comes down to that. The white, I'm assuming that the white buildings which are existing would stay at the height of those buildings that are there currently on Mifflin,
yep.
West Mifflin. So when you've got the gold or the yellow buildings, what is the height of those buildings that you're proposing?
Well, you can see in the images that that are kind of off to the side here, I think on yours, you can probably see the lines that are number of stories. You know, like this one right here is this building in the foreground that we're showing in this as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then it steps down. I think most of these are, well, this one's 4, you know, so like 4 to 6. Jonathan.
Yeah, Bill, along West Washington, the Madison Comprehensive Plan that was adopted in 2006 talks about maintaining that streetscape and buildings at a height of 2 to 4 stories in the 400 to 500 block of West Washington. Concept B does that by and large. Concept A seems to kind of throw that out the window.
It does.
Given that the downtown plan is to supplement the comprehensive plan. How do you reconcile sort of saying, well, we've got the comprehensive plan, and this is the language in it, but we're going to go someplace totally different with that?
Yep. I think the downtown plan is an opportunity to revisit some of the assumptions that were made in the comprehensive plan. Actually, the comprehensive plan, if you look at the recommendations for the downtown area, are quite general. And in fact, one of the recommendations in the plan is to do a more detailed downtown plan. So that's kind of where we're taking off here. But the recommendations that are in the comprehensive plan, particularly in West Watch, where it says 2 to 4 stories, is based on the adopted Bassett neighborhood plan that was done 1997-ish, I think. When we've been going through this process, because there's, you know, we got quite a bit of comments about this area, and so this process allowed us to, you know, that's kind of our working assumption, but let's talk about if that's the long-term desired future of that in the bigger context of downtown. So yeah, we're revisiting that, and we'll see where it goes. Yes?
The blue buildings that you have relocated, are you talking about physically moving those buildings?
Yes.
And then what goes in those spaces?
These buildings have been relocated, you know, maybe some, they're not specific, they're more illustrative, but, you know, in this scenario where we're showing all the buildings remaining along West Washington Avenue, but say West Dayton Street, and maybe some around Bedford, maybe a little around Bedford, there's some structures there that are really consistent with what's going on along West Mifflin Street. And like this area of blue is where there's you call these zero lot line buildings.
So it's the Ambassador West Department building.
Thank you. So it's like a 1960s long apartment building with a little parking lot in front. Under either scenario, we're recommending that that's a redevelopment site. And in these two scenarios, because what we're trying to do is strengthen, again, the core of this, instead of redeveloping that with a newer, bigger building, that's a good location to fill in some of the kind of the gaps or some of the missing pieces in the street. Again, that's not going to happen tomorrow, but that's the... Yeah, Pete.
So, I mean, I'm intrigued with both of your options, and I guess I saw more in Plan A than in B, but as I look at B, I see the same sort of scenario in that if you look at your gold buildings, kind of proposed new ones, the lot fill that we see in what you're proposing is much different than what we've seen either in recent developments, which you see in white, or in buildings that have been proposed, because everything that's been proposed or built recently pretty much fills the lot.
Yes.
And there isn't the green space that we're seeing. I mean, even in the 400 block of West Washington, you're showing one, and what we're seeing, and then if you look in the A, it's more dramatic. And you know, if you're going to build new buildings, but they aren't filling the lot, and
like these,
well, I mean, just all of West Washington there. I mean, the 425 site shows what was proposed and approved, which fills a lot, as opposed to what you're proposing for the rest of that. And what's the mechanism that makes that work?
The mechanism is coming up with, you know, the design guideline. This has to be a complete package. And yeah, we're trying to not have a, you know, lot line to lot line big square building, but you know, if there are new buildings that that end up being recommended here, that they contribute, don't want to get myself in trouble, they contribute more to the character of the street. There's some richness, there's some rhythm. They can be still quite large buildings, but I think as we tried to hint at with some of these, even though they're really blocky diagrams, some more of that breaking down of the massing and trying to create some interest. And again, this isn't about putting in new big buildings just to put more, you know, cram more units in there. It's about really trying to create a place with an identity and really a sense of place for the future.
Is this something where the plan and then the zoning really have to jive?
The zoning, and maybe there's some additional design guidelines that come along and some mechanism.
Make it effective, I mean, because the current scenario, under the current scenario, fill up your lot is a pretty viable option to propose.
Yep. Yes.
Asking about the lane to the block, that appears to be intended for traffic flow, but...
Kind of lighter pedestrians, not a street.
Well, on
the... traffic flow to get to and from parking for these buildings, but not a...
Right. It could not support parking on either side.
Right. It's not that wide.
But the difficulties you described, I would imagine, are intense. But the idea sounds good to me, and I wonder, could that be done in stages? Has that been discussed?
For example,
if I'm talking about a cul-de-sac or a muse, it could be very charming.
That's all kind of, the muse is kind of, you know, mm-hmm. sort of what we're talking about, but it would have to have some cars on it from time to time. And I don't know that we really talked about that. I guess, mm-hmm. you know, somehow that gets implemented probably depends somewhat on what opportunities present themselves to...
How do you visualize access for moving in and moving out of those buildings that are along that lane?
We haven't really talked about that specifically. I actually never thought about that until I moved my son into the dorms on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the site where the Planned Parenthood building is now, you're suggesting new construction here?
Yes.
As opposed to where you had the blue buildings? The neighborhood has been going through some battles over that recently with developers. I don't know, I can't speak for everybody, but I don't know why wouldn't those be the same blue buildings that you have where the ambassador is?
They probably could. I think we were kind of looking at something, this building that's pretty new on Dayton Street, and having something kind of similar to that, kind of actually before the current situation arose, but... that's kind of what we were thinking in it.
I think we've been thinking more in line with those where you're replacing the ambassador, that type of housing and stuff.
So when it's in yellow or orange, does that mean that it can go to the height of 46 levels?
Yeah, that's what we're assuming.
That's what you're assuming?
Yes.
Okay. And why would you allow that on West Smithland? I guess I'm trying to understand the rationale of why you're encroaching.
You mean for this one in particular?
Right, where you have kept the ends as a higher level, but now you're increasing the density as you're coming into West Smithland. So why the philosophy change there?
You know, it could go either way. I think just because that seemed like a more imminent redevelopment site, maybe before those plans coming along, and... you know, it kind of wraps the corner there, but that's kind of in one of those transition areas or gray areas, and as far as I'm concerned, probably go either way as far as these concepts are concerned.
Well, part of my concern is it's kind of increased. It's an increase in density creep. So once you've turned that corner, and if you are saying that you are really proposing the viability of West Smithland as it is right now, but you allow it creep on that one corner, what prevents somebody coming back to you in the future and saying, well, you allowed it in one spot in West Smithland, so your philosophy is really not being consistent.
Yeah, that's true. And maybe we might have been trying to split the baby a little bit on this, because you know, on this side of the street, we're showing kind of the extent of the existing housing. Here it's, you know, maybe too fine of detail to pick up at this level, but we're really showing more kind of notches in this building. And what we were trying to show there is maybe how new development could serve as more of a transition from kind of this rhythm that's going along with the existing houses to new bigger buildings that would be fronting on Broome Street, but you know, the kind of the rhythm of the front of the building with maybe individual entrances and some of those elements, if you walk up and down West Mifflin Street, you probably don't notice really the individual houses, you know, but what you really perceive is kind of the rhythm of the, you know, width of the houses with their front porches and their peaked roofs as you're walking down the street, as opposed to any individual house. And that's really what we were, I think, trying to show here, is, you know, maybe you could have a newer, bigger building, but really enforcing some of those elements that make for that engaging kind of walk along the street, where we didn't show it on this side. So I think that's kind of what we were.
So on the West Washington blocks, is that, especially here in Plan A, is that all conceived as being strictly residential, or are we looking at commercial activity?
I think we are talking mostly residential. I don't know that I would say strictly residential kind of at this point. The idea is these are going to be residential buildings. If there's a little commercial in them, you know, we haven't really gotten that far. We've been focused more on the scale of the buildings. So we probably have about 5, maybe 10 minutes left before we have to run across to the Plan Commission meeting. But we have time for a few more questions.
I'm curious, on your Plan A, you've got all the small buildings on Mifflin Street surrounded by taller buildings. I'm not sure what it'd be like to live in the middle of what might, from the inside, look more like a fortress. If you've got two-story buildings and people sitting out on their porches, as they do, what are they going to be looking at? They're going to be looking at bricks and mortar. So
these buildings along the lane, here?
On the inside, the white ones
particularly. Yep. So these buildings, these smaller buildings along the lane, are like 2 or 3 story buildings. And so, you know, the houses.
It's the circumference that I'm talking about.
You mean
west one, yes.
Yep. Where we tried to build in where they back up to the bigger buildings, like along Dayton, where, you know, they're adjacent to the existing houses. That's where we have more distance and more open space. So,
do you know what percentage of those are rented? Are all of them rented?
I think they're pretty well rented.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking,
anecdotally,
from a renter's perspective, as a college student, I don't really think you necessarily care as a previous college student.
Just on a practical standpoint, with your urban street. Lane, thank you.
Urbaner.
Somebody has laid this out on the actual lot sizes and figured out that the street works and that these buildings work and the buildings are wide enough for underground parking, one-sided or something.
Yep.
You've done that calculation. Okay.
Yeah.
About the fire access and trash removal down that lane, wouldn't that be prohibited?
We think that this meets their requirements. They're pretty small buildings that where they only have frontage along the alley. It's pretty small buildings. So where there are bigger buildings that have some frontage on it, like this one, it also has frontage on West Washington Avenue where they could get their fire access. I think we laid it out so that it met the fire department requirements for the height of the buildings that are adjacent to it. Were you involved in any of those discussions, Dave?
Sounds like I was not.
Okay. But we did lay it out.
So you're saying
the buildings are in a lot of depth.
It looks like
rollers.
It's to scale.
On West Washington or West Mifflin is what they would do.
Pardon me?
Trash pickup, garbage. Where was that? How it comes through. Students are tend to be a little messy, as we know.
Yeah. But I don't think we've really got that level of detail again.
Okay.
It's a good thing to keep in mind as we move forward.
As you walk down
however
the street,
we move forward.
It's pretty obvious that that's a problem right now.
I just want to bring up one more thing about the parking. So you said that this was taken into consideration with students and like lower income and making sure it's affordable, but then parking under these buildings as an option, I'm assuming they would have to pay for that, and it's probably not going to be cheap since it's underground. Is that, I don't know.
That's true.
Is bus and possible other transportation options been part of the plan?
Well, that's kind of, you know, we're really looking at that area around the intersection of West Wash and Regent Street, kind of near where the old depot is. You know, there's a lot of opportunities there, I think, for some for a lot of transportation options. It's got good street access for cars. A number of bus routes go by there, or you know, or could go by there. You know, it has the bike route, bike pedestrian path that goes right through there. It's just kind of a lot of opportunity, I think, exists kind of in the area just immediately to the west of this for a lot of different options for people to get to work or go shopping or, you know, just different ways for them to get around. So, any last question?
The urban lane wasn't considered on the other side of West Washington?
Pardon me?
The urban lane concept wasn't
considered? No, it wasn't. Mostly because I think of some of the buildings that already exist there. I don't know that there's quite the opportunity there, maybe.
Okay.
There could be, but it's... This was a pretty straightforward one, actually, except for the number of individual parcels you have to deal with and some of that. One last question. Sure.
On the affordability issue, which would be a concern since the local housing existing there is much more affordable than I would assume these places would be, I assume they're going to be built by private developers?
Yes.
And is there any way to control costs?
Probably. I mean, I think this... Either of these options, again, is not going to be easy or cheap to do. And kind of what we're trying to get a better handle on is kind of the dollars and cents in terms of the benefits of this and how do you make that happen. And, you know, either of these scenarios, you know, if the existing housing stays on Mifflin and or West Wash, you know, there also needs to be a component where there's some money available for those houses to be fixed up so that they are contributing to, you know, the quality future of this area. So there's a lot of things that are going to have to be thought about. We're just trying to get a sense of direction on some of this so we know what to invest our time in. So as I said at the beginning of the meeting, the Plan Commission is going to be talking about this only for a half hour, so we need to go over there. But is there kind of a sense of the room of, you know, like one better than the other? Do you not like any of them? Do you have other?
Would you like a show of hands for A and B?
This isn't a formal vote, but just kind of how many people prefer A? How about B?
I prefer B.
How about none of them?
Detail.
What is that? Okay.
A's interesting, but effectuating it.
Well, I know there's, you know,
a lot of talk and effort to save those sections of West Washington, and so letting go of that it's got to be a really good plan for some of us to let go of what has been part of the plan for years.
Yep.
I'm sure.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming, and
you're welcome.
Please mark on your calendar September 23rd so you come to the big meeting at Overture.
Bill, do you want to mention that public testimony is allowed, but probably discouraged since we only have 30 minutes?
Yeah, maybe sort of hinted at that. I hate to discourage public testimony. But, as I said at the beginning, I mean, the Plan Commission allowed us to have a half hour of their already special meeting to talk about this. So we have this meeting in advance to give everybody a chance to kind of see what we're talking about and ask questions. You can still do that at the Plan Commission if you want. But you know, we're really trying to hear what they have to say and point us in a direction.
I do think, if I could just say one thing, that the Plan Commissioners would be very impressed to see us all walk in the room across the street in the next couple minutes, so as many of you as possible can stick around.
And then be quiet.
It would be interesting.
Never mind discouraging.
To see the reaction that there are this many interested folks in our neighborhood, because I think there's a perception that New York doesn't have a large amount of neighborhood.